The Gospel of John. Last week we looked at the woman at the well, and how Jesus tears down barriers when, as he was setting up the interview with her, he tore down her mask. We see how he lovingly witnessed to her. You know, didn't compromise in truth and in spirit, and how he loved her, and how he loves us. And, only Jesus can satisfy us. He said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give, you'll never thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy. We've seen, in this portion of Scripture, John, chapter 3, chapter 4, that Jesus was witnessing. He witnessed to Nicodemus. He witnessed to the woman at the well. He witnesses to his disciples. He witnesses in the next chapter to the Samaritans. In chapter 4, to the Samaritans. But this morning, I wanted to look at three W's. I wanted to look at, www.jesus, period. www. Witnessing and working and wellness. Really three topics that Jesus covers through this, the Holy Spirit covers as we go through this portion of Scripture. Again, when Jesus was witnessing to Nicodemus, he gave some directives, you remember. You must be born again. He gives a directive to the woman at the well, as he's witnessing to the woman at the well. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John the Baptist, as he's witnessing to his disciples, we noted. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. Some directives, not suggestions, they're commandments. When you look at this, Jesus doesn't leave, an alternate route. As he's witnessing, and, we'll look at that. But part of our walk, part of our Christian life and faith should include a heart for witnessing, sharing about Jesus. And we're going to look at some things regarding that. Jesus, in chapter 4, you remember when he arrived there at the well, he was weary and only wanted to drink from the woman at the well. The Bible says that his disciples went on to get some food. It was about the sixth hour. It was about 12 o'clock noon. It was lunchtime. It was time to eat. So they went and got some food, and they returned with some food. And they're, munching down. But in verse 34, chapter 4, in verse 33, it says, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus had a mindset of, and he relating it to food. And it was regarding him witnessing to the woman at the well. He was occupied with spiritual, witnessing and spiritual things. It's interesting that he relates it, this food and food drive. I think of us, we finish the message, sometimes one or two of us will pray for one another. And then we gather in the back and we share, and then we start talking about what restaurant we're going to go eat at. We talk about food with such passion. We love to eat. Amen? But how we talk, and then, James at the restaurant, he watches the food channel all the time. He's like, yeah, you take, the caramelized onion, and you put it in the butter, and pops out the flavor. Talking about food with such passion. And our taste buds, love to eat. But Jesus relating that passion and food drive to witnessing, to God's work. to God's will. And it's interesting because he's in this spiritual state of mind. They're all munching. Hey, we're hungry. It's time. It's lunchtime. You know, and where they got the food and what they're eating. You know, we're so often thinking, hey, can I get some, you know, malt vinegar and some ketchup and some hot sauce, you know, and all these condiments. And Jesus is spiritually affixed in his mindset. But he uses the food drive, you know, and the passion of eating, regarding and relating to witnessing. You know, Jesus said, my food is to do his will and to finish the work. You know, to do the will of him who sent me. His will, God's will. Jesus in a spiritual state of mind. He gives the illustration of the harvest fields. You know, and how he relates that to God's work and God's will, witnessing. How, you know, you think of, you know, he said, look out into the harvest field. He gives the picture. Obviously, he's always relating the water to the well, the wind to the trees blowing, to Nicodemus in here. You know, the fields, right out there, you look at the fields. You know, and you say they're 4 months to harvest. You know, I think of, we can kind of relate driving through, you know, the country, Ohio, Indiana. Well, I can relate. I see it all the time. But, you know, you see the corn, you know, late spring or middle spring, and it's about, you know, and 4 months to harvest. And it was not mature. It was still had some time before it brought forth fruit. As Jesus was relating God's will, God's business, spiritual mindedness, the food drive. He gives this picture and illustration. And then in verse 35, notice he says, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Obviously, he was looking at the Samaritans that were coming. And how Jesus relating the harvest of the field and, you know, the work of the field to the Samaritans coming. Look, they're coming. They're ripe. They're ripe for harvest. They're ripe for reaping. And where his mind was and his head was at. And really the directive for us to be a part of him spiritually, spiritually mindedness. Witnessing. He's zoned in. You know, everybody's eating. You know, we've been there maybe a few times in our life. You know, everybody's involved in something. They're all caught up. And you're in a different place. You know, you got a different perspective. And Jesus was spiritually minded. He's tuned in to the Spirit. And he's seeing things altogether different. Not feeding his flesh. He's out. He's looking at souls. His eyes are on souls. And he's relating everything within his vision, the fields, the Samaritans, the food, spiritually. Witnessing. The second W is working. Jesus said in verse 35, you know, I'm here to do his will, him who sent me, and to finish his work. Working is part of our Christian life. Christian requirement, directive. We're to witness for Christ, of Christ. And we're to work. We're to roll up our sleeves. And Jesus relates this concept with the coming Samaritans. He says, you know, and he stays with the illustration of the fields. You know, you say 4 months to harvest, but I say lift up your eyes, your spiritual eyes. And behold, it's ripe time, it's harvest time, right now. And how he, you know, communicating with the illustration. He says, you know, some sow, some reap. Those that reap, you know, have eternal rewards. Those who sow and reap, they'll rejoice together. And he talking about working and working the fields, sowing and reaping, and him relating it. It's kind of interesting because he said, you know, hey, I'm here to do God's will and God's work. And the Samaritans are coming, and then he starts to relate the concept of working spiritually. In verse 37, you know, yet one sows and another reaps. It's different work. We're called to different work. We're called to work with Him, in Him, in the spiritual plane, with Christ, by the Spirit. But some sow, some reap. He makes the distinction. You know, we're not all called as evangelists. But He says some sow, some reap. And making the distinction, you know, sowing is planting. Remember he tell you, behold, the sower went out and sowed some seed. And he tells that parable in the Synoptic Gospels. You know, sharing the word, sowing into others' lives. Sharing God's word, planting the seed to bear fruit. Some are reapers. Some are sowers, some are reapers. Some are called to gather in, bringing in the sheaves. How some are called, you know, as evangelists. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, we're not all called as evangelists, but we're all called to evangelize. We're all called to the work, to get behind the cause. I think of, you know, the presidential race and, you know, the energy that went in and, you know, the groundwork and everybody got involved in the election on both sides and all the work that they, you know, went through. And yet He's calling us to go to work. And He's calling us to share, to witness, to work for His purpose, for His cause, to share His word. It's interesting how He, you know, likens the reapers. In verse 38, look, notice He says, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. I like this. Because, you know, He's giving the concept, you know, there's a spiritual concept, you know, some plant, some sow, some reap, that everybody has a part. But I see it in this, you know, way. He's the one that's working. The Bible tells us that He's chose us, He draws us. It's by His Spirit that He's moving. And He says, now is the time for harvest. The Samaritans were flocking because of the woman at the well and her testimony. And they're flocking in His eyes. He says, lift up your eyes to see Him at work. Currently, presently, now He's at work. And the reapers enter into a work of others. It's His work. Spiritually, He's moving. He never stopped working. We often think that, well, you know, in the end times, there's going to be a great revival. Oh, man, God's setting things up to have a revival here. When in truth, I think Jesus communicates, hey, lift up your eyes. Now's the time for harvest. Lord, help us. The Holy Spirit is moving now. Jesus draws. Jesus is zoned in. And He's kind of like trying to share and communicate, you know, the type of work is spiritual. Lift up your eyes, you know, and by the Spirit, in the Spirit, zone in, tune in. The harvest is ready now, as He, you know, communicates to His disciples. Working. It's His work. Look in verse 17, chapter 5. As He was talking to the Pharisees there, the leaders in Jerusalem, because they seen this guy he healed carrying his bed on his back. He's cruising around Jerusalem because Jesus told him, hey, rise up, take up your bed and walk. So he just kept the bed right on his back. And he's walking around. He finds him in the temple. But he's in the temple. It's on the Sabbath and he's got a load on his back. You're breaking the law. And how, you know, Jesus is confronted. Eventually here in verse 17, and Jesus responds, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Jesus tuning in, you know, on the Sabbath day, my Father never stopped working. God's providence, He doesn't take the day off. The Bible says in, you know, the book of Genesis, that in 6 days He created everything, and then He rested from creation and creative works. But He didn't go to sleep. He's at work spiritually. And Jesus tuned in. My Father's working. I'm at work. I'm in tune with Him. I'm zoned in. It's His work. And Him desiring us to tune in, to zone in, to be spiritually minded, to see the wind, the way the wind's blowing, to go in that direction. My Father's working, and I'm working. And to be a part of that is to be a reaper, to enter into where others have, you know, worked. It's we're entering into His labors. What He's doing, we're just being a part of. The last W is wellness. Witness, working, and wellness. The wellness formula. Actually, Earth Source, there's an actual vitamin. It's called the wellness formula. Yeah, I do well on it. It's like got garlic in it, vitamin C. You know, you're coming down with a cold, get some wellness formula to make you well, to keep you from being sick. The last W. Notice in verse 6, chapter 15, Jesus poses a question to this man who had an infirmity. At the end, he says, words in red, "Do you want to be made well?" I like this. Chapter 15, verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. How he poses the question. The Bible tells us, look in verse 3, chapter 5. There was a bunch of sick people around this pool of Bethesda. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. No. They were there and they gathered and they had, you know, the idea of when the water stirred up, God sent an angel and the first one in got healed. Now, you know, we can look at this and, you know, and we got different explanations. We don't know exactly what was going on. Maybe it was an underground spring that, you know, released some water and there was some bubbling going on. But the idea of the first one in was the only one that got healed. And maybe it was a placebo thing. We don't know. But God loves to heal. And God singles this man out. And He asks him if he wants to be well. Do you want to be well? The Bible tells us that, you know, he had an infirmity in verse 3 for 38 years. Doesn't define or describe the infirmity. Now, if this was Luke, he would have told us exactly what his condition was. How he did, because he was so medically, you know, descriptive. But here, you know, it's a picture of being, of the unredeemed. Being, you know, surrounded by those that can't see. Can't, the lame, can't walk, can't see, can't walk. They're paralyzed, can't work. They can't move in the spiritual realm. They're sick. Sin. And bound in darkness. And, you know, a picture of the unredeemed. In Romans, the Bible tells us that, you know, and you who were without strength in due time, you know, and you who were enemies when Christ died made us, you know, reconciled, made us friends. How, you know, a picture of the unredeemed around the pool of Bethesda there. Sick people. How is one made well? The wellness. The Bible tells us, you know, and we're going to look at just one scripture in Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians 2. But just to relate it, correlate it. In chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, look at verse 1. "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Look at verse 3. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind," sick, "and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." You know, picture of the unredeemed, those in darkness, surrounded by those that can't move in the spirit, blind, lame, paralyzed. And then the Bible tells us, you know, how one is made well. I think of Vanessa. I was talking about, you know, we were fooling around the other day with Vanessa, and I said, "Vanessa, little Vanessa, she's the two, and she gets this." in her self-image. I said, Vanessa, are you a potato chip? She said, no, I'm not a potato chip. Vanessa, are you a jelly bean? No, I'm not a jelly bean. Vanessa, are you a monkey? No, I'm not a monkey. Who are you? I'm Vanessa! She has a healthy self-image. She's well. You know, you think of Dawkins and whatever that guy's name is, and how he is so deluded that we've come from monkeys. Jesus makes us well. By faith, we know that the worlds were framed by God. The wellness that he brings and who it is that makes us well. Only Jesus can give us a healthy self-image. He's the only one that can make us well. But it's interesting how he says, do you want to be made well? What if Jesus appeared to us today? Do you want to be made well? I like this because it starts making you think. You know, real and truth, where you're at before him, in light. Do you want to walk? Do you want to see? Do you want to hear? You want to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you want to be gifted by the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be made well? Now, I thought of someone that, how ludicrous this would sound. No, I'm good. No, I'm cool. You know, I'm satisfied with watching others get healed. I'm okay with, you know, how Jesus is moving in another's life. How ridiculous that sounds. I don't desire what you can do for me, Jesus, would be the no answer. You know, I'm used to my mat. You know, that word for bed is actually like a bed roll, a mat, a cot or something, pallet. But I like my mat. You know, I've been sitting here for 38 years. I've grown comfortable. You know, I'm cool. I don't want you, Jesus. How ridiculous that would be. But Jesus singles him out. You know, the Bible tells us at the end of chapter 3 how one would have that answer or attitude towards Jesus. Look in verse 19, chapter 3, in his conversation with Nicodemus. He says, and this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. How ludicrous that would be. No, man. No, Jesus, I don't want what you are offering me. I don't want to be, you know, responsible for the spiritual gift. How ludicrous it is to refuse what he's offering. But he didn't ask him to set him up for a no answer. He asked him and singled him out because he was ready. He was helpless. Look in verse 6. You know, when Jesus asked him in chapter 5, verse 6, you know, he saw him lying there and knew he already had been in that condition a long time. Do you want to be made well? And then verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. I don't have anyone to help me. Do you want to be made well? And this man didn't say no. He didn't say I'm comfortable with my mat and my sin and my darkness. He said, I can't. I have no one to help me. I love this because Jesus, you know, he is the one. He is our helper. He's the one to help. He asked that question to set him up because he gave the right response. He knew he was ripe for help because he knew he was helpless. I can't do it on my own. I need help. That's music to Jesus' ears. I need help, Lord. I can't do it. I don't have the strength to stand up, to keep standing. I need you, Lord. Jesus responds. And it's interesting, just with a few simple spoken words. He says, do you want to be made well? Man, I can't. I got no one to help me. And Jesus just transitions into, you know, releasing the power of God. In verse 8, he said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. The man ready and wanting, desiring, Jesus issuing. Just a few simple words from the scripture, believed, bringing forth the power of God. Rise, take up your bedroll, you know, stick it under your arm, on your back, and walk. Offering the healing, offering the power of God released to heal and make well. Who's able to make us well? It's interesting, you know, the Bible tells us over and over again that we're to believe, and it's by faith. He speaks the words, and the words in themselves. My Father is working, and I am working. The Spirit is alive, and He is present. His Word is eternal, and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut right through us. You know, what is God's will? Well, the Word of God discerns between the soul and the spirit. He's alive. He's speaking. It's spiritual. He's powerful. But it takes a believing ear and a desiring heart to believe and to lock on and to receive. He brings the power. Rise up. Take up your bed and walk. Do you want to be made well? It's interesting when you really take that apart in the grammar, in the Greek. He's stating that, do you want to be made well instantly? I like that. He isn't saying, hey, would you like to join a support group? And over the course of a few years, you know, we'll take another look at you. He's saying, do you want to be made well now? And just, you know, he knew what he was saying. Right now, the power is available. Not in a progressive sense. It's in an instant. Take up your mat. You know, take up your mat of sin. Take up your mat of discouragement. Take up your mat of unbelief. Your attitude. Take up your mat of anger. Take up your mat. I mean, fill in the blank. Take up your insecurity blanket and stick it under your arm. Take up your mat of grumbling or negative discouragement or stress or self-pity. I get stressed out, man, sometimes, and it's like, man, I need some help. But I don't connect that He's right here willing to help me. I was listening to an old album by Malcolm and Alwyn. Malcolm Wilde, Alwyn Wall. And I'm just like, because I break out my old turntables, 1974. You know, that's when music was music. You guys, you listen to music today. Anyways, the lyrics of the song. And then he got to the last song on side one. And it talks about, you know, he was just singing, His yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. And I can carry you. See, and then bam. Yeah, of course. You know, come to me, all you who labor, or heavy laden, you who are stressed, come. And, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I can carry you. And then everything was light again. Just a few spoken, well, sung in words. Sometimes He speaks to us through a song. It's His word, it's His power. Releasing His power. Believing. It's Him, and only Him that can make us well. Sometimes, you know, He answered with, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. And really, that should be our answer. And it's interesting because, you know, in order to witness and to work, we got to be well. We got to be made well. We got to have a right worldview, a right self-image. We got to be able to see. You know, unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. We got to be in tune. We got to be zoned in to witness and to work. www.jesus. It's interesting how He singled this man out. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, hey, He's surrounded by these guys that are in darkness just like us. And how He called us, and He opened our eyes, and He touched us, and He healed us, and rescued us, and He made us well. And how He singled him out, but it's really Him who's singled out. Look in chapter 4, verse 26. Interesting how when Jesus revealed himself to the woman at the well. You know, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." He's the one. You know, you think of being singled out. It's him and him only that can help. You know, the answer to being well. How can I, you know, grow? And how can I be strong? How can I thrive spiritually? It's only by him and through him and in him and being connected to him. He revealed himself to this girl, and she's like, turned on. She left her water pots, ran back to the village, told everybody, "Hey, you are not going to believe who I just met. I met the one. I met the one who has power to make me well. I met the one, the real Messiah, the true and the living God. He's the one, the only one." We, you know, when we witness, as he witnessed to the woman at the well, he was so tactful and so loving, but he didn't compromise. Today, you know, what's trendy is you compromise in order to reach the masses. But they dilute who he is. In other words, he's not giving options. He's not giving alternatives. He's not saying, you know, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you want to come in the front door. Now, if you're a Muslim, you can come in the side door. If you're a Mormon, you can come in the back door. And if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you can knock at the door. He doesn't give options. He's not giving alternatives. He has one. He's the one and only. He's the one that singled out. But to witness in love, not to compromise, but not to, hurt, ego. And look in verse 42, chapter 4. Then they said to the woman, the Samaritans, then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." He's the one. He's the one. Do you want to be made well? He's the one. He's the only one. It's Jesus. He promises to be with us. He releases his power simply through the word. We just need to believe and have faith. He's the one that singled out. Do you want to be made well? How to stay well? Last verse. Look in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus, this guy, once he got healed, had his cot on his back, just like Jesus told him, just obeying Jesus, take up your bed and walk. And then he goes into the temple. He's thanking God and worshiping God. That's a good thing to do after you're made well. He's in the right place. But Jesus finds him again. And he says, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." How to remain well is not to sin, not to, you know, you're free. Paul says, you know, shall you sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died, you know, live again in sin? How can you, to remain with him, in him, and not to sin is how we remain well and healthy. Witness, work, and that's the World Wide Web. But really, all we need to title the message is Jesus, period. Witness, work, and wellness. Let's stand. He gives us directives. And, you know, that kind of narrows our options. We have to be born again. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. I must decrease. He must increase in me, as John the Baptist witnessed to his disciples. Them are directives. They're commandments. They're not suggestions. You know, it's not an option. He calls us to go to work, to witness, to live in his cause. So easy, you know, to have a fervency politically or for another cause, but he wants us to work for him. And he's our only answer. I was talking to Gary earlier, you know, we think, you know, given the results of the election, Some of us may think, oh man, I'm bummed out. Now we don't have anybody in Washington to represent us. But the truth is, the Bible tells us he's in heaven representing us. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's what we need to connect to and zone into with a spiritual mind, that we could lift up our eyes and see the harvest. Lord, help us. You know, give us that drive, like our food drive, and that passion, like we love food. And we love food. Relating it to him and his work and his food and his will. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Father, we do. We ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes and that you would heal us of our inability to walk spiritually. That you would heal our paralysis, Lord, that we can work. And in a burden free way. You said my burden is light. In a easy way, Lord. It's your load, it's your work. Lord, help us enter into your work. And give us eyes and a heart to see. Give us your heart to feel and to sense the souls around us that you're working in. And Lord, we pray that you plant your word in our hearts, that we may not sin against you. And do never let us lose, Lord, the awareness of how sin is so destructive and how it can ruin our life and take us in the wrong place, down the wrong path and away from you in darkness. Can bring us back in a worse state, you said. Lord, help us remain free, well, walking, sharing, working for you, Lord, for your purpose. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Give us this living water, that we might do what you desire and require. In Jesus' name, amen. Great message, great content, God's Word, witnessing, working, and being well in him. And right now, the harvests are ripe. Lift up your eyes. It's just a matter of looking with his eyes, which he offers. His mind, having the mind of Christ, which he offers. His heart, which he offers. His Spirit, which he offers. I must decrease, he must increase. Lord, help us. You know, have that same passion that he has. And it can only be done by his Spirit. And he might pour out his Spirit upon us, fill us with his Spirit, give us a spiritual mind and heart for his work, for to witness, to share of him, about him, and to put our food spirit aside and allow his Spirit to reign. For his glory, for his purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.